Well, if you'll turn to Psalm 104, before we get back to Jonah and finish in the next couple of weeks, I chose today here as we begin the new year, and I have to admit I chose to start the year with Psalm 104. I actually had been reading, I had ordered a few books for Christmas for some of the boys, and I needed just a few more dollars to get up to free shipping, so I ordered a little book I had been wanting to get by John Frame, where he discusses the notion of apologetics, that is, of how we defend our faith, how we see, in a sense, he bridges the gap between what the scriptures tell us about God and how we see God in creation. And I was so inspired, in one of the psalms he refers to, in this just this little book called Nature's Case for God is Psalm 104. It's a psalm that does really it takes us through the days of creation in a poetic form. I'm going to go ahead and read the whole psalm. It's a little bit longer reading than usual. So Psalm 104. Praise the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. He wraps himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent and lays the beams of his upper chambers on their waters. He makes the clouds his chariot. He rides on the wings of the wind. You got to use your imagination as we read this psalm. He makes winds his messengers, flames of fire his servants. He set the earth on its foundations. It can never be moved. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains, but at your rebuke, the waters fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took to flight. They flowed over the mountains and went down into the valleys to the place you assigned for them. You set a boundary they cannot cross. Never again will they cover the earth. He makes springs pour water into the ravines. It flows between the mountains. They give water to all the beasts of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. The birds of the air nest by the waters. They sing among the branches. He waters the mountains from his upper chambers. The earth is satisfied by the fruit of his work. He makes grass grow for the cattle, the plants for man to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth. Wine that gladdens the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread that sustains his heart. The trees of the Lord are well watered, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. There the birds make their nests. The stork has its home in the pine trees. The high mountains belong to the wild goats. The crags are a refuge for the conies. The moon marks off the seasons. And the sun knows where to go down. You bring darkness, it becomes night. And all the beasts of the forest prowl. The lions roar for their prey and seek their food from God. The sun rises and they steal away. They return and lie down in their dens. Then man goes out to his work, to his labor until evening. How many are your works, O Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things both large and small. There the ships go to and fro, and the Leviathan, which you formed to frolic there. These all look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to dust. When you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He who looks at the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. May my meditation be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord. But may sinners vanish from the earth and the wicked be no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. Our Father in heaven, we do pray, may our meditation today be pleasing to you as we, through your word, rejoice in you. Amen. We're here as we do. This is our New Year's sermon and our sermon to prepare us to come to the Lord's table. We have here the poet's musings really on Genesis 1. You caught that. He even touches on the flood a few chapters later. We have here creation and providence, sea and land, cloud and sunlight, plant and animal, light and darkness, life and death. We have an exalted vision of God, the Creator. Let's take a look here for a few moments. Let's enter God's presence together with the psalmist as we again begin a new year together, a year of worship and of praise. And of obedience. We can only do an overview, obviously, of such a psalm with so many different ideas. I suppose the main point is the title, Another Year. Here we are, 2019. Another year, what a God. First four verses, let's think of it like this. Look at God. He created this world and he's separate from it, though he is not distant from it. We begin by very personally, Lord, you're very great. But then and you're clothed with majesty and splendor. And then he begins to use the God's own created order to describe it as if he's wearing it. And abiding within it in some sense. Wrapping himself with light like a garment. Verse 2, the heavens are like his tent. That means the whole universe is so large. He's stretches out beyond it all in his infinite greatness, in his omnipresence. The clouds, his chariot, riding on the wings of the wind. Isn't that interesting, picturing God riding through the created order that he's made. And then the wind, his messengers, flames of fire, his servants. Derek Kidner put it like this, taking up its parts and powers, that is of what he's created, as his robe, his tent, his palace, his chariot. This invites us to see the world as something that God delights in. Something charged with his energy and alive with his presence. You know, after all that rain, we were trying to think back as to when we last saw we had Christmas and it was overcast, cloudy, rainy. And then we went to the beach and it rained even while we were there. There was about a week or more where you barely saw a glimmer. You know, today, we really can today and yesterday as well, after all the rain. Don't you feel that freshness? You sense God's, it allows the creation as it's supposed to give us a sense of God's, that the creation points to God, doesn't it? Breathing that fresh air and seeing the sun shining again, although it was always there, wasn't it, behind the rain and the clouds. God has created all this. He enjoys it. He enjoys his creation. He invites us to as well. I think this reminds us of Jesus's, what they call his nature miracles. Think about it. The God who created all things, we already read in our responsive reading, it was created through him and for him. Think about it. Jesus, at that wedding in Cana in Galilee, he changed water to wine. He didn't have to do that to bless the host and the participants. We remember he multiplied food, taking a few fish and bread and then expanding it to feed thousands. Or how about this one? Jesus walked on water. Did he have to do that to get to the other side? Think about it. He could have walked around, probably could have found another boat. But he chose to just walk along the water. Why did he do that? Just seems to me the sheer joy of it. Then what does he do with Peter? He lets Peter take a little walk on the water with him. It's okay. I think it's good. We need to look at God, at how he invites us to enjoy and to marvel at what he's created, and to take his joy, to enjoy with him delight in creation. But look at God here at the beginning of the song, just how great he is, but also how close he is. As great as he is, he's not distant, he's close. Look at God. But then observe his creation as we continue, verses 5 to 9. Observe his creation. God is a personal creator, and his creation is in good order. The earth that's firm on its foundations, not to be moved. Then he discusses in particular here, the psalmist, the waters. Again, in the creation account in Genesis, we see how he separates waters, and he separates the sky from the earth, and then he places the waters on the different parts of the earth where he wants them. Rivers and streams and seas. Seashores and riverbanks, fields and streams, mountains and valleys. God keeps it under control. Every now and then, though, he sends a message, doesn't he? When it feels like it's out of control, a hurricane, a tsunami, tornadoes, getting our attention. But his foundations stand. Even when he allows it to kind of flow over the boundary for a little while, yet it recedes, doesn't it? And it stands. We're not overtaken by the sea. Ken Myers of Mars Hill Audio, he says, and this is one of the quotes I included for you, "Faithful Christian thinking about and action within culture." He has radio, a program where he interviews people that are writing about all different topics. But he says, "Faithful Christian thinking about culture requires a recognition of creation's ordered goodness." And then he says, each of these three words is essential to cultural faithfulness. As we go out and try to glorify God, as our first question of our catechism, what's the chief end of man? To glorify God and to enjoy him forever. We have creation's ordered goodness. That God has, five through nine, verse nine, God has set a boundary across which he doesn't let the waters cross. It's ordered, it's under his control. Observe his creation. We observed his creation. I thank you for the day off last week. A week ago today, as the end of that week, a little over a week ago, we were at the beach, and it was rainy, but it was only the flag was only a red flag, so we could still go in the water. When you have a bunch of boys and you go to the beach, you don't want a double red, because they won't let you go in the water, because we'll go in rough, cold water. Yeah, we went swimming. We did go swimming. We always like to take pictures, and it shows the date. Yes, we were swimming out on, December 27th, December 28th, whatever it was. Some of us had wetsuits on, others didn't. We were just enjoying those waters right there at the boundary. It was rough and it was good and it was a lot of fun. Rejoicing. That's what we were. We were just, for no other reason than to rejoice in the Gulf, in the waves. It was a pretty big current. It was I don't remember anyone else besides us being in the water, to be honest. But we were. I sort of feel a sense of pride as people walk by and look out and see us out in the water at Christmas time. We were just enjoying God's creation. He gives it to us to enjoy. Look at God, observe his creation, but ponder his provision. I can only touch on this. It's verses 10 to 23. He gives us a lot of aspects of his provision. He tells us about providing the waters. The earth satisfied. Let's see, 10 to 30. Okay, springs, waters between the mountains. He feeds the beasts of the field. This, don't you love it? I mean, this just shows us the vastness of God, but also the, I mean, can you kind of hear him kind of just chuckling in delight as he talks about wild donkeys? Of all the beasts, of all the things he could mention, he mentions wild donkeys. God quenches their thirst. Isn't he going to quench our thirst if he quenches the thirst of wild donkeys? Birds of the air nesting in the branches. Waters that roll down the mountain, cool, fresh mountain streams, satisfying the earth. He provides waters. Then he provides animals and plants, 14 and 15. He tells us, look, he gives grass that the cattle can eat, and then a plant that we can cultivate. He feeds the cattle, and then they feed us, both milk and meat. Domestic animals, vegetation we can cultivate, human skill and intelligence, we can use this. And Jesus comes back to this. You know, Jesus says, you know, if he feeds the birds, isn't he going to feed you, made in his image? And then it says, wine that gladdens the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, bread that sustains the earth. Wine and oil and bread. Charles Spurgeon says, by the aid of genial showers, the earth produces not merely necessaries, but luxuries. That which furnishes a feast, as well as that which makes a meal. Oh, that man were wise enough to know how to use this gladdening product of the vine. But alas, he often turns it to ill account, debases himself therewith. Of this, he is the one to blame for turning a blessing into a curse. But it's given to be a blessing. Then he mentions bread. Men have more courage after they're fed. I'm thinking of David and Abigail, how wise she was to feed David's men here. Men have more courage after they're fed. Many a depressed spirit has been comforted by a good, substantial meal. We ought to bless God for strength of heart as well as force of limb, since if we possess them, they're both bounties of his kindness. All that we have is from God. You know, I was thinking as I was putting together this sermon this week. I have some folks in my some young men I'm involved with. They drink a protein shake, do bench press. I have boys doing pull-ups. I like to run. God uses all this to make us who we are, to strengthen us physically, to grow our muscles, to grow our minds. All that we have is from God. He gives us provision. Ponder his provision. Ponder his provision, even our physical strength each day. And each day's a gift. That's really the thing I want us to remember. Every moment we have, I'm mentioning the protein shakes and the bench presses. I'm having to deal with my own not being as strong as I want to be. But yet I've had all that I have, God gives me. We were moving something the other day, and I wasn't as strong trying to move this big picnic table as I thought I remembered my strength to be. That's okay. 16 to 18, shelters, trees for the birds to make their nests, and for the stork. Why does the stork get a mention? And then verse 18, wild goats. Did any of y'all see the goats running across the street just now on the way to church? God cares about the goats. And then in 19 to 23, I wish we could spend more time with each of these. Something that we rely on, but we forget how meaningful it is. The moon to mark the seasons, the sun that knows when to go down, darkness and night, you know, the rhythm of the day. Light under which to work, darkness under which to sleep, the moon, though, to shine, to directing the tides. I mean, all this is God's plan and God's working. This didn't happen by accident, by chance. And then he tells us, man going about his work. That means men and women. Our labor of the day, then the rest that we get at night. The Creator's design doesn't, and the regularity, this isn't for monotony. It actually is enrichment. Opportunity to work, to reflect, and then to rest. Notice the wisdom of creation and providence. Verse 24, how many are your works, O Lord? In wisdom you've made them all. This makes us think of Job. You remember Job suffered? And he stayed firm in his faith, but yet he wanted an audience with God. And God gave him that audience. And what God does is spend four chapters of Job reminding Job of all that he created, all these strange creatures he created. And he said, Job, were you there when I created all these marvelous things? God delights in what he's made. I mean, he even mentions, I'm having to kind of skip through here. Verse 26, the Leviathan, some large creature out in the sea. Just to frolic there. Just for God to enjoy watching it. You know, I was thinking to myself on this one. My dad, the thing he did with me when I was a child was scuba diving. We would just go and enjoy down under the water, the beauty there. Notice the wisdom of his creation and of his providence. And so what's our response? 27 to 35, what's our response going to be? For the psalmist, it's a Sabbath meditation, a hymn, and a prayer. It's how he seems to close things here in the psalm. For 27 to 30, just a reminder, all the creatures of the earth, including human beings, all that we have is from God. Now, the animals, it says, in some way it seems more, they all look to him for their food at the proper time. But in some ways, obviously, they don't have a cognition like we do of the Lord. But yet, he's built it into them that they know to look to God each day for what they have. It says, you open your hand, verse 28, and we're satisfied with good things. If God hides his face, his creation's wise enough to know to be terrified. If only human beings were wise enough. He reminds us, it's God's breath, his ruach, that gives us being. And when he removes his ruach, his breath, then we die and go back to the dust from which we were created. God holds life in his hand. He, you know what, let me move on. I have an extended quote. I gave you part of it. This is what really inspired me to want to preach this sermon today. And then I will move after this to transitioning into the Lord's table. Listen what John Frame gives us a quote here from John Frame. And if you'll let me read it, and then again, some of it is in your bulletin, of just how, and this is what I really want you to take from today. All that we have, every single day we have, is a gift from God. Every morsel of food we eat is a gift from God. The ability to work and earn a living is a gift from God. Here's how Frame put it, and he brings in Beethoven, okay, as his illustration. We are alive today because of a vast causal nexus above and below us. The same is true of our abilities and therefore our achievements. Beethoven could write symphonies because he came from a vast family tree and because all his ancestors breathed the earth's air and received food and drink from its seeds, rain, and sunshine. He had the right genes, education, and experience. At any moment of his life, he might have been destroyed by a falling tree or a tiny virus. Or one of his ancestors might have been destroyed, preventing Beethoven's family line from bringing him to life. He wrote the symphonies. Nobody else did, and nobody can take those away from him. But his achievements are dependent upon something vastly larger than he. Given the greatness of the universe and our own frailty, is it not wondrous that any of us survive? And even more wondrous that any of us accomplish what we do? That wonder at the sheer greatness of it all is one of the roots of religion. You catch that? All that goes behind us being here today. We're all here today. Those of us who are here, think about the hundreds, may I say thousands of times God has preserved us to keep us here. On the other side, some of us begin the year and I realize my mother, I've mentioned her, she's beginning this year, her father and her brother passed away last year. God gives life and he takes it away. And Job said, blessed be the name of the Lord. But the point of today is God's greatness, that we're here today. The psalmist finally gets real personal. And this is the difference between the created things, the wild goats, and the human. He says, may the Lord, glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. Then he says, verse 33, I will sing to the Lord all my life. Are you singing to the Lord today for what he's given you? What is your life about? Are you like the psalmist? Do you look at creation and see God's amazement? And then do you think, you know, I'm going to praise God as long as I live. I want my meditation to be pleasing to him. And then he reminds us of the rub. Because God reveals himself and we either respond in faith or we reject it. Those that reject it, may sinners vanish from the earth and the wicked be no more. He's simply reminding us we can either see God's beauty and God's wonder or we can reject it. So he says, as for me, I'm going to praise the Lord. Oh, my soul, praise the Lord. You know, we've mentioned Jesus. We've mentioned here God's provision of wine and of bread. Jesus took wine and bread, didn't he? He took it and set it apart, as we're going to pray in just a few moments, from a ordinary use, the ordinary physical strength and joy it gives us, to a spiritual use. But I want to ask you before I move to that, are you delighting in Jesus today? Are you grateful for a creator who's preserved you, for a redeemer through whom you can be reconciled to God? As we begin this new year, worshiping the one true God, let us begin it with the thankfulness of the psalmist. Let us begin it here with at the Lord's table, where Jesus did take the bread and the cup, and he set them apart for a holy use, for us to remember his giving himself for us until he comes. Paul tells us, I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Well, let's take the bread and the cup, what we usually partake for physical sustenance, but let's remember Jesus gives it to us, and by faith in him and by his Spirit's presence with us today, he takes this ordinary items something we can taste and swallow. And he says, just as sure as you can taste and swallow this bread and this cup today, so I am with you. I give you this to strengthen your faith, to give you peace of conscience, to remind you that I am with you, that I'll never leave you or forsake you, that you might have both strength to begin, in our case, this new year together, but also the spiritual perseverance through the high times and the low times, through the good times and the difficult times. Know that I'm with you. And in this meal, you can proclaim my death and my resurrection until I return. I invite all that have trusted in Jesus alone for your salvation and have been received into a congregation or to a session to partake. If you have not been received into a church and admitted to the table, then let the elements pass you by. Or if you come this morning in unrepentant sin, if you repent, then repent and come to the Lord in faith and rejoice in His provision. Well, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this psalm that reminds us of the amazement of your creation and how it points to you. Lord, I thank you that we can come to you and partake of your table. We ask you, O Holy Spirit, you would be with us and that you would bless these, your gifts of bread and wine. May the bread we break be the communion of the body of Christ and the cup of blessing which we bless, the communion of the blood of Christ. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen.